These podcasts contain adult themes and some strong language, but also discussions around violence against women and girls that some may find triggering. Hello, I'm Sarah Hughes. I'm a writer from the Northeast, and I'm so happy to welcome you back to the second series of Worky Ticket Theatre's Woman Up podcast, hashtag All Men Can. This time we are focusing on speaking to the lads. Yeah, you heard that right. So whilst the first series highlighted Northeast women's stories during the pandemic, this one brings men into the conversation and explores how we can engage them in the fight to end male violence against women and girls. With this project, we aim to educate, raise awareness, and include men in this really important discussion. Episode 2, Jess's Dad, written by Sarah Hughes and directed by Charlotte Ryder, performed by Chris Idden.
So I am here with Sarah Hughes, who is the writer of our play, Jess's Dad. And I'm just going to ask a couple of questions around that so we can introduce the play a little bit more. So hi.
Hi. Hello again.
We're at that point now where we're going to be recording the play and we're excited about it. So really, tell us a little bit about the play.
So the play is called Jess's Dad, and I really kind of, I have to say, struggled to kind of pin down what I was going to write about this time. I remember on the last project, Woman Up, the idea came really, really quickly. Mm. This one got really lost in the surveys and had quite a few ideas, didn't I, that I kept kind of pinging back to you, but settled on this idea of a man coming into school to speak to a group of teenage boys.
So, I mean, we've talked about a little bit about this, but what was the inspiration behind like doing this play?
The thing that was kind of the penny drop moment for me was I saw these three dads walking. That's what they call themselves, yeah. Three dads walking. And they are these fundraisers who have all in recent years lost their daughters to suicide. And they've raised millions walking across the country. But more importantly than raising the money, they've raised huge awareness about female suicide, because obviously it's pretty kind of well talked about in society, male suicide rates, young female suicide less, kind of well researched as well, which is something that they really push for. I knew that the play was going to be about gender-based violence in some form, possibly sexual violence. Just seeing their interviews, I kind of thought, I wonder what it would be like if we wrote something, or I wrote something about a suicide that had been linked to a sexual crime. So that's where it came from. Jess's dad, Phil, is, I mean, I don't want to give too much away about the play and spoil it, but he has obviously, he's an ordinary guy who has gone through an awful, extraordinary experience and wants to do something good from it, like these three dads walking did.
Mm. I think all the research as well that we did around, you know, the surveys and all the interviews that we did must have had an impact on your writing the play as well.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
Because I can see that when I've read it as well. You know, a lot of the stuff that we talk about within those interviews and in the surveys have come up quite a lot, haven't they,
as well? Yeah, there is. So there's little pockets. The stuff that from Ross, the tattoo artist, about that onus on men to try and make women feel safe rather than women having to find ways to make themselves feel safe. That kind of stuck with me a lot and I think affected the characterisation of Phil.
Yeah. I think also, you've touched on this a little bit as well, but like, how did you actually feel writing this? So actually the actual writing process of this compared to the Woman Up play?
Much harder. You know, it was much more of a struggle, and obviously you found that in the edits. Mm. I think with the Woman Up play, we maybe did two edits because I found her voice very quickly, the character's voice, whereas with this one, obviously I'm not a man. So there was that. His lived experience was just so different to my own. So I had to draw a lot more on the research rather than on my own experiences.
Yeah. And I felt horrible sometimes going, no, no, you can't put that in there. Like, I was like, really? Like, but I think it was, this was such a hard project to do.
It was. We had to get it right.
Yeah, and I had to get it right.
My kind of, what I really, really did not want was, we've touched on this in the interview in the first episode, I did not want this to be a lecture for teenage boys.
Exactly, yeah.
And it was that hard thing of striking the balance between having to be kind of hard-hitting and be honest and truthful, but also be accepting that, you know, we don't want to play into the hashtag not all men culture by lecturing and by making assumptions about all men. We wanted to, as you said, flip the narrative to all men can. And hopefully, I think the play is, although it's really sad, it is also kind of positive in certain ways.
And again, it's what we were talking about in the first episode about hope.
Yes.
There is definitely hope.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's what all we can ask for these days, isn't it, really?
Definitely.
So, and last question, because you asked me and I've asked everybody, who would you give your last role or two?
And again, I'm going to be really boring and give the same answer as you, because I would give my last role definitely to my stepdad, Darren. He'd be mortified when he listens to this and hears, but he is, oh, you know, I'm in the midst of getting divorced, which has been an exciting development for 2022. And he is holding me up emotionally, financially, practically, you know, he just, and I think there's something about that thing of them being a stepdad rather than the dad.
Absolutely.
You know, I think all the time, you know, if I get into a new relationship and if that person's got children, will I be able to feel that much and do that much for that child who is not mine? And I hope that I've learned enough from him that I would be able to, because he is, you know, he would get my last Rolo, and I know he would get my brother's last Rolo as well, because he deserves both of them.
And I think it's, to round that off, it's that hashtag all men can. And the whole point is, like, hashtag all men can be, like, you know,
the stepdads.
Stads.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much. I can't wait to hear it and see what the future holds with this project as well.
Jess's dad is just an ordinary man who volunteers to talk to groups of young people about what happened to his beloved daughter. He speaks from the heart about the tragedy that destroyed his family in the hope that it will save other young women and men.
Good afternoon, Year 9. All right, Year 9, settle down. Lads, I'm going to need you to settle down and give our speaker your full attention. Thank you. Right. I'm going to hand you over to Phil Jones, who's joining us today from an organisation called Big Impact. He's got some very important topics to cover with you. So do yourself proud, boys. Listen, be respectful, and let's all learn some valuable stuff today, okay? Phil, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me today here at Springbank Secondary School. It's a fantastic place, isn't it? Schools are a lot posher than they were in my day. So lads, as your teacher just said, my name's Phil Jones and I work with an organisation called Big Impact. Well, I say work with them, I actually volunteer as a youth worker, primarily to come out and give talks and run workshops like the one that we're going to do today. Right, I'm warning you now, I'm a total technophobe, so I can't guarantee all of my slides will work the way they're supposed to. But here it goes. I promise I'm not here to lecture you for ages, lads. We're going to have a great afternoon together. I just need your full attention for about 20 minutes now, if that's all right. I think it's a pretty interesting topic, so hopefully you all will as well. So I'll tell you a little bit about Big Impact and what they do first, just so you know why you're here in this hall on this rainy Tuesday afternoon. Hey, I hope you're at least getting out of double maths or something, fellas. I'll warn you today that we're going to be talking about some pretty sensitive subjects, including sexual assault. If at any point anyone feels anxious or needs to take a break, then that's absolutely fine. Just let a member of staff know if you'd like a bit of time out. Okay, our organisation is actually a charity, and it was set up in 2012 by three dads whose teenage daughters had all been victims of sexual assault. Now, these three girls and their families were all from different parts of the country. They didn't know each other. But what they had in common was that in the aftermath of being sexually assaulted, they found there was a big gap in the support available to the girls and their families. But in addition to this, they realised that there was very little provision for what they called preventative action. What these dads wanted to do, having been young lads themselves not so long ago, was look at the ways society can engage boys and young men like yourselves to have an open conversation and hopefully be able to prevent some of these acts that we call violence against women and girls from happening in the first place. Big Impact work with secondary schools in collaboration with police forces around the country, predominantly with boys in years 8 to 11. So, why did I get involved with Big Impact? I'm not a teacher, I'm not a police officer, and I certainly was never an expert in this subject. My background is construction. This is my lovely daughter Jess, hands down the funniest person in our family. This photo is her just about to head out to the Sunderland match with her brother. Huge red and white supporters, the pair of them. Now, I know that won't go down too well over here in Gateshead, but bear with me. When she was in year 11, Jess went to a party with her mates. We knew she was gone, we knew there'd be alcohol involved, but we also knew that Jess was a sensible girl with a good set of friends around her. But Jess was the victim of a crime at that party. There was a young man at school Jess had liked for a long time. They knew each other pretty well, and lots of the friends thought they'd end up seeing each other, you know, being boyfriend and girlfriend. Anyway, at the party, they went upstairs to a bedroom together and they had consensual sex. She did not, however, consent to the photographs he took of her, which she had no idea he was taking. Jess trusted him, thought of him as a friend, hoped their relationship would develop into something serious. And that night her trust was betrayed in the most devastating way. By the next morning, these photographs were circulated amongst this boy and his friends and then very quickly shared with a much wider circle of people. You know how it goes. Hundreds, if not thousands of people viewed those images. By the following day, we were informed that they'd made their way onto the internet and, well, there was no way of getting them removed. We tried everything. Overnight, Jess's life changed forever. The breach of trust, the humiliation, the shame she was made to feel. It was devastating for her and unbearable for us to watch. She didn't feel she could return to school, so her education went out the window. Such a clever lass as well. She couldn't face her friends. She couldn't face food. The weight dropped off her like nothing I've ever seen. She was skin and bones, God love her. Jess took her own life 3 weeks shy of her 17th birthday. Now, luckily, none of you know yet, because you're far too young, what it feels like to have your own child, your own daughter. As much as your parents embarrass you and nag you and irritate you, they really do love you. They love you in a way that no words, certainly none that I've got, could ever describe. And I still love Jess that way too. I was decimated when she left us. Watching my wife and son in that amount of pain, knowing there was no way to ease it, it was torture. For a long time, I thought I was ruined, totally useless. And the anger, God, the rage was like nothing I'd ever felt before. All this fury with nowhere to channel it. It's 6 years now since we lost her. And as time passed, I realised I had to do something to create a positive outcome from this hell we were all living in. Otherwise, the anger, the hurt, the grief, it was going to consume all of us. So here I am, telling our story, Jess's story, in the hope that you listen and maybe it will ignite something in you all here today. I wanted to do something to honour Jess's memory, and although it took me a very long time to get to that point, I also wanted to do something for the young lad who had taken the pictures of Jess. His name is Jack. You see, Jack ruined his own life too. I knew that very early on from mutual friends who told me the state he was in. He'd been absolutely devastated seeing what happened to Jess. Because, you know, he actually really liked her. He wasn't an evil person. He was immature. And he made a catastrophic choice in disrespecting Jess in such a terrible way. That's not to say what he did was just a childish mistake. He made a choice that night to do what he did to Jess. And although he couldn't have foreseen the consequences, he absolutely knew what he was doing was wrong. Criminal, in fact. But Jack never envisaged how quickly something he thought was a bit of a laugh, something funny to share with his mates, could get out of hand. It was like a wildfire that nobody could put out. I know now that it happens all the time. Pictures of naked women, girls are shared quite a lot, but at the time I couldn't believe it. How could anybody ever think that was okay? That it was acceptable? When his case eventually came to court, Jack avoided jail, but he was put on the sex offenders register. Can you imagine? I can't think of anything I'd be more ashamed of than that. Can you imagine what that does to your reputation? Forever. Can you imagine what it must have done to his family? His poor man. And then to subsequently know that his actions that night resulted in Jess's death. I wouldn't have wanted that on my conscience. I'm not making excuses for him. He effectively took my daughter from me. But I want to be able to show you all how actions have consequences, to show you why it's so vitally important that we as men stop and think about how our actions could affect the women and girls around us. If Jack had stopped and thought about my daughter that night as a human being and not as a commodity to be shared with his mates, she'd still be here with us today. I genuinely believe that. So aye, back to the reason I work with Big Impact. I don't want any more women or girls to go through what my lovely Jess went through, and I don't want any of you lot to end up how Jack ended up. Now, you might be wondering why we've got the boys here, but not the girls. I mean, surely we've got to educate young lasses on how to stay safe, don't we? Or do we? Now, does anybody know what whataboutery is? No? It's when someone responds to an accusation or difficult question by raising a different issue. So, for example, right now, you could all be thinking, well, it isn't just boys who do stuff like this, girls share photos too. Another example was when the Black Lives Matter movement came into the public eye after the murder of a black man by three white police officers in America. We all heard those people who said, well, what about white people? White lives matter too, didn't we? But the problem with that statement is that although, of course, all human life matters equally, white people weren't being murdered left, right and centre by black police officers. So you see how it just detracts from the real issue? I hear a lot of whataboutry when it comes to violence against women. People, usually blokes, tell me that women attack men, murder men too. What about them? And of course, yes, men are occasionally murdered by women. Men can be victims of domestic violence. And I'm not saying that that shouldn't be taken equally or as seriously as domestic violence perpetrated against women. But the statistics, year on year, speak for themselves. Stalking, domestic violence, rape, sexual assault. These crimes are predominantly, overwhelmingly perpetrated by men, and the victims are predominantly, overwhelmingly women. Let that sink in, lads. We can say, what about the men, as much as we like, but we're not the ones who, on the whole, need protection. This slide shows you a list, and it's by no means a complete list of things we continually tell girls and women to do in order to stay safe. For decades, we've been telling our daughters only to walk where it's well lit, not to get too drunk, not to separate from the friends, to carry the car keys between their fingers. I feel like it's time we looked at this from another angle and stopped blaming victims. Because where are women safe? My Jess wasn't safe at a party where she knew everyone and was surrounded by friends. I hope today you'll open your minds to look at the other angle with me. To put yourselves in the place of a girl or a young woman. A girl who might want to wear makeup and a short skirt and, you know, not be warned that if she's raped, people might say it was her fault. I've been your age, lads. I know it's hard to believe given how little hair I've got now. And I want to acknowledge that it's hard for boys grown up in 2022, 2023, etc. Is it safe to fancy someone? To flirt? To ask someone out? It might have all started to feel like you're in trouble before you've even done anything, huh? Hell, it's hard for any teenager grown up now. Boys or girls, I get that. You had your education and social lives disrupted by the pandemic in a way my generation just never had to experience. Then you've got the pressures of social media, access to pornography, the fact that we can be contacted 24/7 on these bloody phones we're all glued to. Sorry for swearing, miss. So we're going to do some activities and have a discussion today around the issue of toxic masculinity, this pressure for boys to act in a certain way, the way we maybe value characteristics like aggression because we see them as being manly, the fact that still in 2022 we encourage boys to be strong, not to cry, not to show their emotions. And I admit, I was guilty of that myself to some extent. Losing Jess taught me that actually, real strength comes from expressing your emotions, not packing them down inside of you. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing your thoughts on toxic masculinity and whether you see it going on in your lives and with your mates. Your teachers told me you're a geet opinionated bunch, so we'll get it all out there today, I'm sure. Now, back to the question I asked earlier about where exactly women are safe. Do you recognise the girl in this picture? This is Sarah Everard, who I know most of you will have heard of. But you might not have heard of the Reclaim the Streets movement, which came after Sarah's murder. There was a real outcry of anger at the time about how Sarah did everything right. She stuck to all the things on that list we just saw, well-lit area, told her boyfriend what time she'd be back, wearing sensible clothing. She wasn't drunk. None of those things saved her life. We're going to look at all the ways we as boys and men can play a part in helping women reclaim the streets. In fact, we can actually help them reclaim their peace of mind, reclaim their personal safety. Because the thing is, right, we all know what her killer did was wrong. Absolutely horrific. There's no grey area there, no discussion. He's the monster that every woman is terrified of meeting on a dark night. He's the stuff of nightmares. I'm not saying the work that I can do with you lot here today can prevent another murder like that. But actually, when you learn more about the run-up to Sarah Everard's murder, there were times he could have been challenged by fellow officers, fellow males. Times when he shared inappropriate content, said worrying, sexually explicit things, mentioned rape, and perhaps had the people in those WhatsApp groups with him challenged him instead of assuming it was banter, things might have been different. So we'll look at that too. Because it's hard, isn't it? Being the one to stick your neck on the line and say, hey, that's not okay, that's not cool. It takes strength of character. When I was a young'un on building sites as an apprentice, I never had it in me to say to my boss, stop whistling at that lass or beeping your horn at that woman, because I was scared. But now, I am the boss. I make it my mission to challenge that sort of behaviour, and I want you all to feel that you can too. What I'd love after today's workshop is that you all leave with an awareness of all the little everyday things we might be doing which make women and girls feel less than or unsafe or threatened. The type of things that make up what we call everyday sexism. The stuff that we, most of us in this hall, might do or have done at some point. The commenting on women's bodies. The casual sexist language we might use. The assumption that women need to act or behave in a certain way to be attractive to men. And then there's the issue of consent, of taking photos, of sharing photos, and all the ways our behaviour can make girls feel less safe. That needs to stop, right? I hope we can work together today to come up with some really practical ideas on what we as men can do, because the thing is, I know it's easy for us to feel a bit, well, got at when we're talking about this subject, isn't it? It can feel like we're taking the flak for something only a minuscule amount of men are actually doing. But we can't just turn a blind eye either. So we're also going to think about why we should want to make changes, why we should see it as our duty to be a part of the change, because genuinely, all men can make a difference in their own way. It's actually a really exciting opportunity, lads. We can play a little role in making the world a safer place for your sisters, your mums, your friends, and even for your future daughters. Can't be a bad thing, can it? Right, I'll stop chewing your ears off now. Thank you so much for listening. So respectfully, lads. Let's take a break and we'll come back in 15 minutes and get cracking. I want to hear what you've all got to say.
This podcast was inspired by White Ribbon, who are the UK's leading charity engaging men and boys to end violence against women and girls. Their aim is to support the prevention of violence against women and girls by addressing its root causes and to change long-established and harmful attitudes around masculinity that perpetuate gender inequality and men's violence against women. Our All Men Can series has been funded by Police Commissioner Kim McGuinness's Operation Payback Fund, edited by Studio 26, produced by Work Your Ticket Theatre, presented by Sarah Hughes and Jojo Kirtley.